KD2BLG, Mobile 1.
KD2BLG, Whiskey 1, India, Mike, X-ray. Name is Doc, Delta Oscar Charlie.
Hey, Ben. Name here is Glenn. Yeah, just sitting here driving somewhere. I forget where. Oh, yeah, it's grocery shopping day or something.
Good afternoon, Glenn. We're just getting moved into a new house. I'm going to run up to Lowe's and get some keys made.
And that's always enough. That's always fun, moving into a new house. You know, it's fun for at least a couple of months. You know, then you realize possibly payments are due, and it's more work than you thought it was. Yeah, enjoy that new house smell.
Well, we were supposed to take delivery on the 14th of July. Luckily, we got a mobile home within sight of the new place. That's where we've been staying for the last, well, it's coming up on 13 weeks.
I often thought about, there was this one house I could have bought that I could have subdivided into, like, little one-room apartments, like four or five of them. And, you know, that would have been an excellent idea for people in your situation. I'm a student, or some sort of itinerant worker, or I'm waiting on a house to be completed, or I'm relocating and waiting, you know. So I would, I'd let people rent rooms for a month or two at a time. You know, too expensive to stay in a hotel, and too short a time to sign a lease.
Yeah, I've been there, done that. Is the beep on this thing gone, or did I miss something up with the radio?
This part of my, your radio's fine as far as I know.
He's working okay. I just didn't hear a beep when I released the mic. I thought maybe it was messed up. No, I didn't miss a word of that. Yeah, we just moved down here from a Northern Virginia area. And my wife is from Anderson originally, so, you know, we know the area. We've had a piece of retirement property out on Lake Artwell since 1979. And finally decided to get out of Dodge and build a place on the property, and we put a mobile home on the property about 8 years ago, and it's a good thing we did because we've been living in it for the last 3 months.
The end of transmission tone is gone. I guess they turned it off. So, Northern Virginia, like near, like up around Richmond or D.C. or further out away from that area. Because I've talked to other people who are like from the D.C. area or the North Virginia area. I was most recently in the New York City, Long Island area. I came here in, was it 2012 or 13? 2012, maybe.
And up in the D.C. suburbs in Northern Virginia for, well, I've been there 50 years. And my wife has been there for 42. Decided it was just time to get out. We were living out from D.C. about 22 miles, about 5 miles from Dulles Airport.
We got to the point where cost of living or rents or property prices just got up too high. Well, of course, if you had owned a house all that time, you weren't worried about that. I imagine it's become quite expensive.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the price of housing has pretty much gone out of sight close into D.C. And the closer you get, the higher it gets. Now, we had the house paid off 10 or 12 years ago before we left. And being both retired, didn't have to fight the rat race anymore. But like I say, we've had the property all these years and never did anything with it. But this was always in the plans. So my wife built her dream house, and unfortunately the dream has turned into a nightmare in the last 3 months. Trying to get the builder to get everything finished the way we want it.
contractors and builders before. I just come from looking. I've got land up in Clinton that I'm having basically destroyed or demolished. I had a piece of land with a bunch of mobile homes on it that I'm going to get rid of and build something. So there was four of them that should have been gone 2 months ago. I don't know what's taking so long. So since September, I think this has been going on. So yeah, it's always twice the budget and three or four times the duration.
In houses down, doesn't seem like it take more than a pretty good sized bulldozer and a 5 gallon can of gas.
The 5 gallon can of gas I may keep in mind. No, I don't think you can. he's got like three of the four structures pretty much totally destroyed, and just the remaining one. And I'm starting to realize, wow, there's a lot of room here. I could actually build something nice. Because one of those lots that's a bit narrow. It's not more than 100, 120 feet wide, but it's long. It goes back a good 500 feet or more. So I'm trying to think of what I would put there. The beer can trailers that have been there since the first Reagan administration, I was renting those out, but you know what? I really don't want tenants anymore. Tenants, renters are just too much, it's more trouble than it's worth.
That, yeah, the last time we went overseas, we rented, and then, boy, that was, that was a hassle, but, yeah, no, we've got, you know, in Virginia, we were on a quarter acre lot, and, now the new place has got about 80 feet of back porch from end to end, and, we got like an 8 acre backyard, with about 1200 feet of lakefront, so, don't have to worry about any encroachment.
So basically you trade it up for whatever you sold your place in Virginia, which nowadays is probably many times what you pay for it. Yeah, I guess you went to where your money buys more.
Yeah, we had always planned to move back down here anyway, and like you said, it was just getting to be such a hassle up there with the traffic and the cost of living and all the rest of the bureaucracy. It was time to leave. But I was up there for 50 years and still felt like I was just passing through.
Capacity, some sort of government worker or contractor?
Yeah, I did 30 years civil service and another almost 20 as a contractor with a couple of defense contractors.
Local civil service, you know, city of New York, and not much pay, but good job security, and walked away with a pretty good pension, a pension that had cost of living increases in it, so I think 10 years after he retired, he made more than he was working on.
Then when I retired in 96, I figured that retiring on about three quarters of my pay would be just fine. And after we ran the numbers, I worked for another 20 years.
Or I guess that. Of course, couldn't have stayed really in the New York City area either. Well, actually, I don't know. Could he have? I mean, where we were was a rent-controlled building. So I'm sure whatever rents are now in that part of the Bronx, if you had rent control all this time, you're paying a third of what everyone else is, you know, and that's primarily the expense. Yeah, you know, other costs of living, various other goods, fuel prices, energy prices are nominally higher, but mostly it's housing. So So, yeah, I suppose you could have stayed there.
The problem was staying where we were. One of the main reasons we stayed up there as long as we could, handicapped son, and he had a decent job the whole time we were up there. And down here in the state of South Carolina's idea of social services is a joke.
It's a good job in the city, working for the man every night and day to come down here. I personally think it may have been, in my case, probably a mistake.
Yeah, I don't know what the employment situation is down here. It took me 3 tries before I finally got retired, but I finally packed it in the end of 2013, so it's been about 8 years. And between retirement, Social Security, and my wife's retirement, Social Security, we're in pretty good shape. Don't have to worry about working.
Remember, my dad was getting over $1,000, or close to $1,000. Could it have been that much? Social Security. And he was also, technically, he was double dipping because city workers weren't supposed to qualify. But he also had that killer pension from the living increase. And he was working for 10 years after he quit the Department of Welfare. He was making more money than he was working for. So between those two, I think he had maybe $2,000 coming in. And, you know, $1,000,000.
Rough on that last transmission. You must have been in a bad area, but it just popped out. And, actually, the trick is to have high-level security clearances when you retire. That's worth a bundle when you're negotiating for another job.
That'll get you another, I don't know, hell, get you another $100,000 a year for all I know. I have no, you know, I don't know what government work pays or what it really entails. As I said, my dad was civil servant for a city in New York for 30 plus years. He worked for the Department of Welfare, and they treated him good with that pension. And he was getting about $1,000 in Social Security and maybe another $1,000 in pension. And the house was bought and paid for, so it was in good shape.
Sounds pretty good. Unfortunately, the 30 years I did with civil service was not under Social Security. So outside of the odd 3 or 4 years before I went in the military, I didn't have any Social Security. We racked up the requisite 40 quarters or whatever it was in the 20 years since I retired. And my wife waited until she was 70 to put in for Social Security, so she's getting a whole lot more than I am.
And that's what I said about double dipping. Because at that time, I don't think city of New York here or federal or, you know, public sector workers in general weren't even really supposed to be in the Social Security system. So he got his City of New York pension and Social Security, you know, fell a double dipper, fell between the cracks somehow. You know, so it worked out well.
If you hold off putting in for Social Security until you're 66, you can work unlimited hours, but below that, they'll start cutting you off. Because I was laid up when I put in for Social Security and did it all over the phone. and the lady told me what I was going to be getting, and I said, you do understand that my 30 years was not under Social Security. And she says, oh, I didn't scroll down fast enough. I said, boy, here it comes.
I didn't really, well, I think in, let's say, in another 8 or 9 years, I'll be able to collect. What are you, 67 now is the earliest you can collect. Actually, I can collect about 900 something at age 67 and maybe about 500 or 600 at age 62. And if I make it to 70, that would be like 1,200, somewhere in there. And, you know, I wasn't in the workforce really all that long. I had a lot of, I was a contractor, so there's a lot of gaps in my employment. So, if you, you know, it's pretty generous considering.
Actually, my wife spent 36 years as an independent contractor and got no retirement whatsoever.
Well, at least you're out of the D.C. area rat race. I'm really not familiar with Northern Virginia, D.C., or that area, except in passing through. It's like, oh, it's another obstacle I got to get around. I'd like to go to New York or something. I imagine the traffic along the Beltway area nearby hasn't gotten any better.
W1IMX Mobile. The traffic just gets worse and worse every year. We probably live 20, 25 minutes outside of D.C., non-rush hour. And you can double or triple that if there's an accident on the Beltway or Route 66 going to the Beltway if you're going into town in the morning. So, where we are now, we're on a dead end street. There's only three houses on the whole street, and four if you count our mobile home, and that's two of the four. So traffic is not a problem.
There, I'm starting to see only within the past 5 years or so housing developments going up everywhere. These industrial park-type places going up everywhere, 100,000 square feet for sale or lease or whatever, and they're all empty. You know, someone is building all this industrial and residential space, I guess, expecting some huge influx from somewhere.
Big thing around Washington over the last, probably 5 or 6 years, has been server farms. And I don't know, I read somewhere that something like 65 or 70% of the world's data traffic passes through Fairfax and Loudoun counties.
Probably true, because you're not the first person to say that. I was talking to someone else not too long ago. Who remembers call signs or even necessarily voices? Who also came here relatively recently from the D.C. area. And yeah, there's buildings with tens of thousands of square feet of server farms. So you'll see these, like what they're building here near the Greenville area. You know, this big 100,000 square foot industrial whatever warehouse. And it'll be full of server farms. So what is all that? Computerized record keeping, or is it something else, or internet servers, or, you know, I don't know what it is. Is there that much data that the federal government gathers? I guess there might be.
No, but it just seems like every time we go out for dinner or something like that, you'd see three or four more of these huge buildings, and they're all server farms. But, yeah, there's nothing out where we are, and I hope it stays that way, but you're right, there is a lot of construction around here. because I know when we first got married in 1983, you'd be hard put to find a decent house for over $100,000. And here anymore, you'll spend as much down here on a gated development or someplace with a private lake or something like that as you would up in D.C.
There are bargains you'll find. I'm still kicking myself hard over the fact that I found within 5 minutes of me. Okay, the house was crap and had to be torn down, but it was on a nice 2-acre lot, and I probably could have gotten it for $20,000. The house was built on the right half of a double lot, which is all basically overgrowth. So I would have left the house and just torn down the forest, and I would have built on that half of the property. For $20,000, what am I, crazy not to buy it? But, you know, I guess I just got risk-averse, having lost so much in other ways.
Yeah, well, we've had this property since 1979, a little over 11 acres, and about 1,200 foot of non-navigable lakefront. But when I bought it, I had no thoughts of retirement at the time. It was just an investment. And, that $20,000 for that lot would have been nice. But we had deeded restrictive covenants up where we were in D.C. Couldn't put any antennas up. And I spent a good many years. The only hamming I did was 2 meters out of the truck to and from work, and that was about it. Now I can put up whatever I want. Like I said, we got like an eight or 8.5 acre backyard. So at some point in the not too distant future, I want to get back into HF.
Antenna for 160 meters, actually, I think there's one band that's lower than that. There's a 300 or 400 meter band that opened up for amateurs. So yeah, put up the big antenna now that you got the room.
Be nice, and got the room to do it. Is there one point right after we got married, I was looking at a lot that had backed onto the municipal golf course, and it was fairly narrow, but it was like 160 feet deep or something like that, and I figured, boy, this is going to be ideal for some decent antennas. A realtor took it upon herself to ask the president of the local homeowners what they thought about ham radio, and that was the end of that. I had one conversation with the guy, which started out bad and went downhill from there. And I just flat told him, I says, if you're any example of the kind of people that I'm going to be living near, there's no way I want it.
Well, it's anything that really that big or that, you're not putting up a 200-foot broadcast tower. Well, I don't know. You might be, but actually, I remember funny. This was in up in New York near Freeport when I would drive over to Deborah's parents for Sunday dinner. I would always pass this house that had what looked like at least 6 antennas on the roof. You know, quads, beams, verticals, dipoles, just about every kind of antenna. And it wasn't a big house. He had 4 to 6 of them at least. I always thought it would be a good joke to go over there one day and say, with a bunch of people, hey man, our cable went out. Can we watch the game?
Yeah, I had a friend years ago that had his entire rig built into a closet, told everybody it was a big TV antenna. the restrictions we had, I mean, were ridiculous. 5 feet above the top of the TV antenna, and no bigger than a 5 foot boom. So couldn't really get anything to go in there. So I got a new dual bander for VHF, UHF. When we move down here, and like I say, at some point I'm gonna get into some HF gear. I don't know, I was thinking about putting a 40 and 80 meter inverted V up or something like that. I got plenty of room to do it, and I'm not all that hot and bothered about working DX. So. Over the years, I've operated from overseas several times, and that can be a hassle too. Everybody trying to pick up a DX contact. Well, I've arrived, Glenn, and I'm going to run in here and get some keys made. Appreciate the conversation. Makes riding around a little bit easier, because it's 10 miles from where we are to any place we got to go. Have a good afternoon, W1IMX Mobile.
Coming here from Long Island, where everything's within a mile or two of everything else. So I got to go 10 miles this way for bread and 10 miles the other way for butter to put it on. But, all right, you take care, and maybe if I tune into the net later, we'll hear you. Yeah, I'm in my destination as well, so I'm going to sign off as well. You take care, 73, KE2BNT.
Yeah, I check into the nets from time to time. Depends on how cold it's been out there. Catch you later.
RMF Mobile, monitoring.
RMF KD2VNG. All right, one quick QSO. How you doing?
Doing super. I hope you are as well. My name is Kurt. That's Kilo, Uniform, Romeo, Tango. My wife and I are headed into downtown, headed over to Pace Jewelers on the west side of town to get a little specialized jewelry repair performed.
Special piece of jewelry, like a family heirloom? Yeah, jewelry repair gets involved. You might spend more for the repair than the jewelry is that you paid for the jewelry.
Find yourself in need of some work done on a watches or wife or a necklace or bracelets. These people are the only place in town, as far as I'm concerned. I've been here since 1975, and this is a family-owned business on the west side of Greenville. It's like stepping back into Mayberry, into their store. They're about the only place that I know that does quality jewelry repair, and a lot of their work is very, very reasonable.
Pace Jewelers, or Pace Jewelry, you said? Yeah, no one even wears wristwatches anymore. I had a wristwatch that I found that was actually a nice one, and it broke, and don't know what happened to it. Otherwise, it might have repaired it.
Resisting change as hard as I can. I am a wristwatch, what I call a watch guy, and I'm an analog chronograph type watch guy. And I've had a number of mine, the batteries replaced from these folks. And they're Pace Jewelers. That's Papa Alpha, Charlie Echo on the west side of Greenville. They've been open forever. It's a good experience. They're great people, and I highly recommend them if ever you have it for all your jewelry needs.
For that, if I ever get another watch. Yeah, I hadn't been in the habit of wearing watches lately either, and I don't think, and funny, this watch, it was a nice watch. It was a nice dress watch, mechanical auto winder type of thing that had the see-through bezel in the front and the back. And strangely enough, the back bezel was the one that broke. How that would happen, I don't know. It's like something went through your wrist and hit the back of the watch. But I, now it's lost. I don't know where it is, but that was the last decent watch that I, and it's a watch that I found. And curiously enough, it was in the trunk of a rental car, and it was in under the tire well, where the spare tire is. I don't know what made me look there. I just decided in an unfamiliar car, hey, let's look in the tire well, and there's this watch in there. But, yeah, if I ever want to get another watch, I'll get another watch. But it's, you know, you're right, people don't wear them anymore.
It reminds me, one of the most reliable, best watches I've ever had was a G-Shock. And this is circa 1993-94 era. I was waiting in the swimming area of a camp lake, swimming lake, and I stepped on something and reached down into the silt and the sand and pulled up a G-Shock, and it worked like a charm, and I wore it for about 8 years and then subsequently lost it, but it was it never missed a second of time. It was spot on the whole time.
You were G-Shock. I don't think they were usually that expensive. Yeah, I think I sort of know the one you mean. And, yeah, so there you go. Another nice thing you happen to find. I don't find things like that too often. But, yeah, you know, I've often thought, and you see, the thing of it is nowadays, everybody usually has some sort of thing with them that has a built-in timepiece, you know, a mobile phone or a smartphone. And it's too bad nobody really wears wristwatches anymore, or pocket watches for that matter. Pocket watches, I think, went out in the 1930s, but a nice pocket watch would be a nice thing to have.
What'd you say your name was again?
Glenn, Gulf, Lima, Echo, November.
Easy for me to remember. My father's best man at his wedding was named Glenn McCausland, and that was his best friend, so that'll be easy for me to remember. My name is Kurt, K-U-R-T. I'm K-O-4-R-M-M, and I live in Greenville, and I'm mobile in Greenville.
I'm actually going to, I said a quick 2 or 3 minute queue, so this is going to end up being, but then again, I've nowhere real pressing to go, but okay, you know, we'll hear you around again, I'm sure. I haven't checked into the 9 p.m. net in quite a long time, probably because I took the radio that was on the desk and put it back in the car, so now there's really nothing on the desk, but... You know, one of these days I'll try to check into the net again.
Not going to hold you up any further from your tour today. So I wish you a Merry Christmas and a good day to you and happy 73s. Enjoy the QSO, Glenn. This is Kurt, K-O-4-R-M-M, 73, clear.
Talk to you later.